WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. President Trump today announced new tariffs, a 30% tax on goods imported to the U.S. from the European Union and Mexico starting August 1st. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The White House and White House officials will tell you that part of the reasoning behind putting tariffs on goods coming from countries or tariffs on a critical mineral such as copper, which was announced earlier this week, is to bring the supply chains back to the United States. But experts will tell you that it oftentimes takes years to bring those supply chains back.
The European Union says it may adopt countermeasures. Mexico's government calls the tariffs unfair. We're learning more about the ICE raid at a marijuana farm in Southern California. CBS's Lauren Posen.
The Department of Homeland Security says at least 200 people were detained, along with 10 undocumented kids. The feds are now investigating possible child labor, exploitation, and human trafficking. At times, it got violent, as protesters threw rocks at the ICE van, smashing the windshield of at least one. On Friday, families scrambled to collect whatever belongings they could from their loved ones back at the farm.
In Central Texas, 170 people are still missing after devastating flash floods. CBS's Jared Eggleston is in Kerrville.
We are over a week out from this incident, and residents here are starting to lose hope and prepare themselves for what comes next, from when it becomes the search and rescue into just a recovery mission.
122 people confirmed dead. An Air India plane crashed last month after fuel control switches in the cockpit were turned off, cutting fuel to the engines. That's according to preliminary findings by an India investigation team. It's still unclear why the switches were moved. The plane crashed a short time later, killing nearly all on board. An annual and sometimes gory tradition is underway in Spain. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker.
Five people were injured on this sixth day of the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. Four had to be hospitalized. That brings to 33 the number of runners injured in this year's festival. Most tripped and were trampled, but two of the injured were gored. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Wimbledon has crowned a new champion, Iga Świątek of Poland.
It's just surreal, and I feel like tennis keeps surprising me, and I keep surprising myself, you know, and I'm really happy with the whole process.
She defeated Amanda Anisimova in the final 6-0-6-0. Saturday's victory at the All England Club took just 57 minutes. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Who wants to spend their weekday evening learning about the importance of foreign aid? Turns out, more than two dozen people at the McMillan Memorial Library in Wisconsin Rapids earlier this week. They were there to hear Greg St. Arnold, an educator based in Milwaukee and former staffer for Senator Russ Feingold. But St. Arnold has also spent years coordinating regional education for the Jesuit Refugee Service in Eastern and Southern Africa. His topic wasn't Congress. It was on the United States' legacy of humanitarianism.
There's three reasons why we should all support foreign aid. Number one is that it makes us safer as Americans.
Recently, a U.S. humanitarian program has officially sunset. USAID has been around since the 1960s, and the Jesuit Refugee Service utilized some of that funding for their aid work. USAID gives aid during conflicts and natural disasters. Think food to Sudanese farmers facing floods and to improve material conditions for people around the world. The thinking is, foreign aid helps prevent future conflicts that would affect us here at home.
Another way that it makes us safer is by stabilizing unstable situations or unstable areas.
But projects to support food security and combat infectious diseases have been gutted by the Trump administration. With most of its staff laid off, USAID formally closed at the start of the month. St. Arnold says that other countries will step in to fill the gap. But he says USAID spending is smart, strategically, and morally.
It was the right thing to do for the United States to be engaged in kind of helping build and stabilize these types of places. And we've just kind of walked away from it.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay.
As Wisconsin's summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy, a high near 83 today. Scattered showers and storms possible. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 66. Mostly sunny on your Sunday, highs in the low 80s. Mid-80s, lots of sunshine on Monday. For Tuesday, a scattered storm in 86.
Right now, it's 82.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. To start us off, we have the Todd Alba Show. In the Todd Alba Show, they talk about state politics, national politics, and sports. Overall, the headlines are flying by at a dizzying rate. As we begin to unpack today's news, Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clements calls in to explain exactly what's going on in the NBA draft. The Milwaukee Bucks have made some unexpected moves in efforts to assemble a younger team around superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, July the 1st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you here at the world headquarters, downtown Madison. Puffy clouds in the sky. A beautiful day across most of the state. Glad to be back here in Madison, along with Zommers, after being at our great station up in Green Bay yesterday, WGBW. Again, many thanks to Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen for filling in hour one. It was an eventful day yesterday, Zommers, but nothing compared to what we have coming up today. Lots of news to bring to you at the bottom of the hour. Our very own political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, Mr. Dan Schaefer, will be along live to break down the breaking news a block away at the state capitol early this morning. White smoke emerged from the Capitol Dome. Well, maybe that's a bit dramatic, but there is a budget deal, at least in principle. Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, announced that he had come to terms with the Republican leadership in the legislature. Apparently, there may, keyword may, be some Democratic votes on the Senate side to get this across the finish line. At this hour, we can report to you that Democrats, the Democratic caucus in the Senate, is in caucus. A bit of a consternation there. Perhaps we'll discuss it all with Dan Schaefer at the bottom of the hour. And coming out of Washington, D.C., a little over an hour ago, the United States Senate nearly passed President Trump's massive tax and spending bill. We'll give you the details on that, tell you why it took Vice President Vance to break a tie in the Senate to get that across the finish line. And if that were not enough for a Tuesday on the 1st of July, breaking news out of Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum regarding the Milwaukee Bucks. Nobody covers it better. Nobody knows the inside better than our very own sports reporter, Mike Clements, who is kind enough to join us live on the phone. Mike, thanks for being here. What's new at Fiserv?
Crazy, busy news day all around, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely.
It started last Thursday night during the draft, and the Bucks had told us earlier in the week, because we're saying, hey, you know, what's your plan? Because usually they let us in, they serve us a dinner, and then we watch the draft as it happens. And then after they make their picks, they come on downstairs. We talk to the GM. Maybe we talk to the player on the speakerphone, maybe one of the owners or something like that, Doc Rivers. They say, you know what? They sort of telegraphed to us. They had no big deals coming up in the first round. Come Thursday night for the second round. We'll open the doors at 6, serve you guys some dinner, watch the draft, and then, you know, John Horst, the Bucks GM, will come down and talk about what happened with that second-round pick. A half hour before they are supposed to open the doors, and I, you know, drive into Milwaukee, They put out a no, no event tonight. Yeah.
I saw this on social media. I follow you on social media. I'm like, who does this? I mean, all these reporters come in. Who, I mean, there's got to be something going on. So go ahead.
There was something going on, right?
Because
it's just like, oh, come on, John, just come on down and talk to us. Because you know he's going to get the Giannis questions, right? Because there's all this stuff about Giannis's indecisive, you know, he's watching carefully what the Bucks do. So we talked to Milt Newton about, you know, the kid that they drafted from Serbia, Bogo Markovic, 19 years old, a forward, accurate shooter. And then we get into the weekend. Now we're into the what they call the legal tampering period, where you can make these agreements, and then actual free agency starts in a couple of days when you can sign the contracts. So the first move that John Horst, the GM, makes is, okay, secure Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
$44 million, 3 years, 30-year-old. And, you know, he had a rough year. The house gets broken into, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then a 25-game suspension because he took the wrong painkiller, you know, for his ankles. Comes back. But, you know, accurate shooter, you know, probably at the peak of his career. So that you sign Bobby. The next thing that happens is, all right, well, Brook Lopez. I mean, one of the things that we saw happen with the Bucks this year is getting up and down the court and keeping up with teams like the Pacers and, you know, the Thunder, who ended up in the finals. So Brook Lopez, who's originally from Los Angeles, he signs a 2-year deal worth $18 million last night, or agrees to it, to join the Clippers. So at 37 years old, Brook Lopez finishes out his career on the West Coast. Okay, that's fine.
Mm.
Now what are you going to do at center? You got that Jericho Sims kid that you picked up in the offseason. Bobby Portis can play some center. If need be, Giannis could probably move to the center. So today they make this huge move. They get Miles Turner from the Pacers, your competitor in the Eastern Conference, on a 4-year deal worth $107 million. The Pacers right now, similar to the Bucks, they're scratching their heads because Tyler Halliburton, the kid out of Oshkosh North High School, their star player, what happened to him? He went down with the torn Achilles in the NBA Finals. So as they're trying to figure out what to do there, somehow Horst gets their center for 4 years, $107 million. Where's that money going to come from? We're going to waive Damian Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying goodbye to Damian Lillard after 2 years. Very accurate shooter, great team leader, but 35 years old. Later this month, he'll be 36 when he comes back from the Achilles, let's say a year from now. Remember, he had the calf injury, the blood clot, and then the torn Achilles. So the early word is Dame is okay with this. You know, it's like, all right, now the pressure's off. He's getting, they're good. The owners, Wes Edens, and Jimmy from Cleveland is going to be, they're going to be paying this guy $22.5 million a year for the next 5 years in dead money.
Wow.
So get this thing under the cap.
Mike Clemens, help me understand, because I don't follow this stuff, especially the NBA like you do. By waiving him in the NBA like that, is there any opportunity that he could still theoretically come back to the Bucks at some point in the future?
Yeah, but, you know, the way all this is set up, it's like, no, you know, we're moving on.
Okay.
In the immediate right now, that means that Dame can also move back to Portland, you know, where his family is.
Sure.
Just focus on his rehab and then maybe decide if he wants to, you know, get back into being playing or get behind the anchor desk and analyze it. I thought about that today. I thought about that, if they could bring him back. But, again, he'll be 36 years old. And what do the Bucks need? They need younger guys around Giannis. So their new center, this Miles Turner, is 29 years old, right?
Yep.
And so they get that deal. Now they still got to get a little bit under the cap. They had just signed Pat Connaughton, you know, a Bucks fan favorite, to a 3-year deal worth like $9 million. He agreed to that about a month or so ago. Well, now they need another million or so. So they trade him off today after they get the Turner deal down out to the Charlotte Hornets, struggling team. They also had to give up two more picks. I mean, I don't think I'm going to have a draft to cover for the next 5 years with the Milwaukee Bucks. They sent like the 2030 and 2031 second-round picks to the Hornets, obviously, so that they could get Connaughton off their books. In exchange, they're picking up a 31-year-old guard from Serbia named Vasilije Micic. Who,
God bless you.
Oh, yeah, I thank you. It's allergy season.
Right.
Micic is 31. Now, his agent says, you know, he was already sort of thinking about going back and playing in the European League.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what that is. But basically, you're swapping paychecks, right?
Right.
With the Hornets. And the Hornets are holding them up for, you got any draft picks left over there?
Right.
Yeah, we'll take those two second-rounders 5 years from now. So that's it. Now you're still kind of short at guard because yesterday you brought back some of these guys you picked up during the season. When remember you decided to move on from Chris Middleton, right? Sent him to the Wizards. So Gary Trent Jr., 25 years old, was averaging about 12, 13 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed to a two-year deal yesterday worth only $7.5 million. A lot of observers will say, wow, that's a deal for the Bucks. But Gary Trent's like, hey, I'm 25. I can play next to Giannis. Dame ain't coming back this year. Here's an open door. I got a 1 year to prove it, and then I could cash in. They also get Kevin Porter Jr. for $11 million. He was going to test the market. And they're going to bring back Torian Prince, the 31-year-old forward. So all those guys, those three guys that were on the team this year, two-year deals where they will get a player option in their second year.
Absolutely. Incredible. Go ahead.
That's all these moves they made. And they brought in one more guard today, Gary Harris, 30-year-old guy out of the Orlando Magic. He's been in the league like 11 years to help round out the guard depth.
Mike Clemens, I'll ask you what I'm sure you're dying to ask the Bucks management and ownership. The big question of all of this, is this enough to keep Giannis in Milwaukee?
They're probably waiting for him to return the phone call.
Wait, he retweeted our own Dan Schaefer today. Did you see that?
No, that's great.
Schaefer put out on his tweets that they should retire Bobby Portis's number at Fiserv, and Giannis retweets it and says 1,000,000%.
That's great. That's great. Well, yeah. Hey, at the end of the day, you got to assume that all these moves, what do you think if we get this guy?
Right.
What do you think if we get? What do you think if you got Miles Turner as your new center? Okay.
Right.
And listen, we understand you can't stand to spend all next year watching Dame on the bench.
Yeah.
So we'll try and make some moves here. Now they're not right now. They don't have a shooter as accurate with all the experience and all the talent of a Damian Lillard. But this is the best that they can come up with so far.
Yeah. Mike Clemens, like I say, I really appreciate you doing this on short notice with this breaking news. You follow this stuff better than anybody I know. We're lucky to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time. And I know you'll continue to update our listeners at the bottom and the top of each hour with your great sports reporting.
Anytime, Todd. Much appreciated, pal.
Appreciate you. Mike Clemens, everybody, on the phone live with that breaking news from the Bucks. Again, free agent Miles Turner is joining the team. And Damian Lillard is waived. So that's among some of the bigger moves. Also, because Mike Clemens said, comes after Brooke Lopez made the move from the team going to the L.A. Clippers. So lots of moves, all intended to keep Giannis in Milwaukee. That is the breaking sports news out of Milwaukee this day, closer to home. As we said at the top of the show, white smoke, so to speak, from the state capitol, as Governor Tony Evers announced this morning via a press release, and others of Republicans have seemed to confirm this, that there is a deal in part, or at least in on paper, a gentle person's handshake, if you will, to have a state budget. Governor Tony Evers, according to the Associated Press, and Republicans who control the state legislature, announced the deal early this morning. Just after 5 a.m. on a new two-year budget that cuts income taxes, increasing funding for the University of Wisconsin, despite those threatened cuts, and raises taxes to pay for transportation projects. The deal in the battleground state where Evers and Republicans have a long history of not working together emerged the day after the deadline for enacting a new budget. However, there is no government shutdown in Wisconsin where when the budget is late, the legislature is scheduled to pass it this week. Evers, in his release this morning, called it a, quote, pro-kid budget. That's a win for Wisconsin's kids, families, and our futures, unquote. We're going to break this down just after the bottom of the hour with our very own Dan Schaefer, of the aforementioned Dan Schaefer, great Bucks fan that he is, but also, I would say, an even better political journalist and writer. And he's going to be in to help us recombobulate on all of that. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, the news today has completely discombobulated Dan Schaefer. I don't think that. I mean, if anybody can keep his combobulation together, it's our own Dan Schaefer. So he'll be along at the bottom of the hour. Here's what's breaking now. State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, who has been kind enough to join us on this program every Monday through the budget process, was scheduled to be on this show right about now. However, Senate Democrats have decided to caucus, and she's been pulled into that caucus. She will join us if and when she can via phone. But there appears to be, keyword appears, to be a bit of consternation amongst Democrats after their own governor announced there's a deal done. What's going on there? We'll discuss that. And also in D.C., it took J.D. Vance getting up off the couch to cast the last vote. We'll explain when we come back as the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Getting out of the couch?
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Escape to paradise this summer at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Spacious accommodations, perfect for families or romantic getaways. Voted top 10 best water parks in the U.S., championship golf, the longest zip line in the area, and the number one steakhouse in Wisconsin. Book a Chula Vista Resort all-inclusive package now at 1-800-388-4782 or visit ChulaVistaResort.com. Your summer paradise awaits.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
A little change of pace. We have Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, who welcomes Carl Lovenstein, founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. Carl shares his career as a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh that led him to be a distiller. Pete asks how the distilling process works, and Carl shares what you can get at his distillery.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Great to have you with me. It's a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. Slightly different than last night. We had Kurt Newman of the Bodines here. That was fun. And we had, who else do we have on the show, Connor? That was a lot of fun.
Well, we had your buddy Nathan Deming.
I know. I was testing you. And Jeffrey Kurz. That was a great talk about film incentives coming to Wisconsin. And tonight is no different, folks. We have a great guest here in studio right now. Lisa Hale will be here at 7:35. We'll be talking about the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off in honor of Cameron Frye's birthday. It's Alan Ruck's birthday today. So we thought that was a good night to do Ferris Bueller. But before that, we are talking about Sturgeon Spirits Distillery and all the products they make. The distiller is here in the studio, and he is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits, Carl Lowenstein. It's great to have you here. Before we went to the break, I mentioned you gave a very funny answer about, but what is the difference, really? I had all these friends where I used to live that loved scotch and turned me on to scotch, and they would drink 18-year-old scotch. I don't even know what that goes for right now in terms of the cost, but I found a 10-year scotch at Trader Joe's that I loved. And to me, it tasted as good as anything I had. What is the difference? And is it like to the naked palate? Is it that much different?
Well, I think I my answer was silly, but it's basically true. Eight years. So what happens is that whiskey sits in contact with a barrel for an additional 8 years, which should mellow it out more.
Okay.
Which there's a little more evaporation, so
less burn.
Have a little less burn.
Okay.
But I haven't had whiskey around that long, so I can't tell you from personal experience how much the difference is going to be. I mean, I've tried some of those older whiskeys. And I tend to think that the mash overpowers the barrel when you get to that stage. Because barrels, for me, I've noticed that barrels kind of get use up their character. So, you know, after a certain amount of time, you're just not going to get that much more flavor out of the barrel. You're just kind of just letting it rest. So it's kind of that resting that I think can change the complexion, but I don't know the chemistry. I'm not a chemist. I'm a historian.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's going on chemically.
Do you like to drink? I would assume you have a pretty good sense of all the stuff if you went into business. Like you like a good cocktail. Where's your level of drinking?
Yeah, I always say I didn't go into this just because I wanted free booze. I really was into the making it as a craft, because what I did in my garage is I would make liqueurs that I would give it gifts. So in fact, I gave you a little sample of cranberry vodka, which was basically the first product I made at home. This is, you sweeten it a little bit. It makes a great Cosmo. You use it for Christmas gifts. You know, you can make all sorts of really nice drinks. And so I got into just making alcohol for cocktails. Now I like to drink. My favorite right now is we have this lavender gin. I do a lavender gin and tonic, which I love every night.
Huh.
And then, you know, we're always got something new, some new cocktails, just taste. So,
you know, I'm going to hold this up here on the stream again. This is a cranberry vodka from Sturgeon Spirits that Carl brought in. And even the packaging, it's very slick packaging, by the way. But how do you decide on how to package stuff? The whole thing seems like it would be so time consuming, and you're retired.
Well, what I would say is I leaned on good people. One of the things that makes a business like this work is finding good people and work with them. My brand design, my shape, my sturgeon, it was all designed by this amazing local design team in Oshkosh who made this lovely package. Had Quill Design Studios put this whole thing together, and that became the basis for everything that we do. I hired an architect to make sure our building and our tasting room and our fit the kind of character that we wanted to create. So at every step of the way, you find the right people, you can make this whole thing work.
And it's a great passion project for you.
It is.
Yeah. So what's the most, tell us this first, where did the name Sturgeon Spirits come from?
Well, I think it's a celebration of our community. I mean, one of the things in the Lake Winnebago Basin and the Fox River and all through the area are these great, amazing primordial fish that has the weirdest fishing season you can possibly imagine, right? A frozen lake and you spear them. I mean, this is a phenomenon that you will see nowhere else in the world. And I wanted to celebrate that. And I'll tell you one more story because I do like to tell stories. So the house I bought when I moved to Oshkosh 25 years ago was also built by sturgeon poachers. So I'm connected to the history of sturgeon. So the family that built this house, apparently, though they actually started to put the control on sturgeon fishing back in the 20s because the dang Russians were taking all the caviar, right? They were fishing out the whole population for caviar. And so they put this caps on, but the people who owned the house just kept right on fishing the sturgeon out of the lake. They had a smokehouse in the backyard, and then they would sell them out of their ice business.
Wow. That's fascinating. And what better mascot, so to speak, for your business than a sturgeon for a history professor, because they're so old, they're like prehistoric. It says this ancient species made its first appearance about 100 million years ago. Is that 100 million?
100 million years ago.
Okay. In the upper Cretaceous period of the Mesozoic era. You're in the weeds here with your history stuff, but that's a great name. And you guys do a lot for the community too. We'll get to that maybe after the news, but what is the most difficult spirit to make? Like, is there one that's finicky? Like you have to be overly meticulous when you're distilling it?
I haven't found anything that's been really hard to do. I have a lot of, I have temperature control issues, right? So one of the things you have to worry about is yeast is really picky. You got to keep your temperature down. If it gets too high, the yeast basically kills itself. It gets too low, they stop being active. You got to keep your pH right. So there's a lot of chemistry that I have to deal with. But the recipes themselves, the base distilling, hasn't been radically different from one product to the next.
That is fascinating. All right. We have Carl Lowenstein is in the studio. He is the founder of Sturgeon Spirits Distillery in Oshkosh, and they do tours. They have tons of craft cocktails. He's only been in business for less than 2 years. And after the news, the second act, after intermission, we're going to come back and talk about how you use rhubarb in your vodkas. And you have a jalapeno vodka. I don't know if you're the first to ever do that. It's the first I've heard of it. So we'll talk about that and Carl's process and more about what they do for the community and how you can be part of a great experience at Sturgeon Spirits. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We're coming back. on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I thank God I'm
alive. Nightlight with Pete Chwaba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says the U.S. will start imposing 30% tariffs on goods from the European Union and Mexico next month. But CBS's Willie James Inman reports.
The White House is somewhat open to negotiation. We've seen that with other nations willing to negotiate with the White House ahead of that August 1st deadline.
122 people are now confirmed dead in Central Texas flooding, including at least 27 girls and counselors from Camp Mystic. Marcy Heap lives in the area.
A few days ago, I found a little flowered necklace wrapped up in a tree, and it got me. It got me. I broke down because I knew it belonged to one of those little girls from the camp.
More than 170 are missing. There's a new women's championship at Wimbledon, Iga Świątek of Poland.
It means a lot, and it gives me a lot of experience. And I don't even know, I'm just happy.
She defeated Amanda Anisimova. CBS News Brief, I'm Heather Bosch.
The Miz is headed to the All-Star Game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski has been selected to pitch in the All-Star Game Tuesday night at 23 and just 5 starts, the Miz setting an All-Star record for earliest career appearance. I asked him, how did his teammates react?
They were all thrilled about it, and they're happy for me. But yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
Brewers pitcher D.L. Hall.
Incredible. I mean, I think we all know, he's worthy of it. The kid's stuff is unbelievable. It's fun to watch, and like Murph said, it's super exciting, and it's good for baseball, so we're also super happy for him.
The Brewers went on to beat the Nationals 8-3. The two teams play again today. Brandon Woodruff gets the start. NBA, the Bucks introduced center Miles Turner to the media. The Bucks facing the Cavaliers today in summer league action in Las Vegas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Mariska Hargitay has experienced an almost unprecedented run as an actor on the show Law & Order Special Victims Unit. And now she has a director's credit as well. She is the creative force behind a documentary about her late mother, Jane Mansfield, called My Mom Jane. The Hollywood Reporter is now saying the documentary will be eligible for the Oscars since it's been revealed that it had a short theatrical run at a North Hollywood movie theater last week. My Mom Jane is available to stream on HBO and is getting very good reviews. Sarah Jessica Parker feels she had to defend herself for not endorsing a political candidate publicly. The And Just Like That and Sex and the City star told Nicole Wallace on her podcast she didn't believe social media was the place for quick political conversations. To her credit, Parker says she's not going to go into an argument unless she is totally educated on an issue. Imagine that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a little hazy from smoke, and a low in the mid-60s. Filtered sunshine for tomorrow and warmer, a high in the low 80s. Slight rain chance Sunday night. Stays warm through mid-next week, highs in the 80s. It's 82 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO.
The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings-on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Mattenair Todd Allbaugh tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up on the docket, we talk to Pat with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Political strategist Melissa Baldoff reacts to the breaking news about the Wisconsin Supreme Court throwing out an 1849 statute that some had been interpreted as an abortion ban. She also evaluates the bipartisan state budget deal. Both stories offer quite a reminder of the importance of every election. Plus, in our climate check, some ingenuity allows a farm field to still be used for grazing as well as a solar farm. Make the panels mobile and let the cows graze.
I am very thankful that Melissa Baldoff is willing to come in here once a week and talk about climate issues. It's a subject near and dear to her heart, but she wears many hats as a consultant, as a political strategist, and more. And so we're probably going to spend more time in this segment on a couple of other matters, and then we'll get to a little bit of our climate check and the happy cows that can result from a little bit of creativity when it comes to solar farms that are out there. But Melissa is going to help us first deal with the new budget deal right after we talk about the breaking news of the state Supreme Court throwing out the 1849 law that some had considered to be an abortion ban. Melissa, good morning. What's your take on the state Supreme Court throwing that 1849 law out, kicking it to the curb?
Good morning. It is a good morning. And, you know, this is exactly what, you know, I think so many people wanted to see happen was a fair and impartial court invalidating a law that, you know, is almost 200 years old and really impacted the rights of women to make our own healthcare decisions. So this is, you know, this is a law that predates us even, you know, just knowing about germs, right? I mean, this is ridiculous that this had been on the books for so long. And it is just an incredible win for the people of this state to have women's rights and freedoms restored by this court.
Well, and on top of that, for all this talk about, you know, originalism and what founders intended and all that, you know, why would we take away from the notion that we have had continuously changing government, continuously changing society for these past 150, 200 years? And what the progressive justices were saying was, look, there have been all of these other changes to abortion law over the years, so many different changes that it basically can't help but overrule the stuff that was written earlier. Because, again, elections have consequences. You have different people in charge each time. They've made these changes of law. Looking at this, and I have skimmed it as quickly as I could, and I have to say this AI summary that Tony has helped put together and shared with us is, I think, pretty good. It says the court erased the state's near-total criminal abortion ban as a matter of statutory construction, not constitutional law. Abortions may resume within the detailed and sometimes onerous regulatory framework enacted since the 1970s. They note that the legislature retains full authority to tighten or loosen that framework, and the ruling invites renewed legislative deliberation rather than ending the debate. And again, Melissa, it's just a matter of, you know, again, we, with all the respect you can have for your founders, they don't get to tie our hands. We still get to live in the here and now, whether you're talking about muskets versus assault weapons or women's role in society and the rights they have now versus then.
Exactly. You know, this is one of those perfect illustrations of why the, you know, Constitution is a living document. It was always intended to adapt and change with the times, and the framers could ever have conceived of the society we have now. I think if you took, you know, the framers and dropped them in today's society, you know, their heads might explode when they saw, you know, all of the technology we have and where we've come, you know, and that's just the whole point, is that it was always intended to be a document that was changed, was adapted. The only thing that isn't supposed to change is, you know, the core principles and beliefs of, you know, life, liberty, and justice for all. That's the foundation, not, you know, any other specific prescriptive words necessarily, because those can change and should change and have changed. And the abortion law here is, you know, a great example. It's, you know, kind of like the, you know, ship of Theseus, right? And that's, I think, where we've gotten with this, the end of this case, right? Is like where it started, it's changed so much. Is it even that thing that it started as anymore? And it's really not, you know, it's changed so many times what the, you know, what the law is on abortion and what the ruling is. So, you know, I think that this is a great day for women, you know, to make their own healthcare decisions again, even though we know that there are limits there, but, you know, protect things like IVF, which would have been completely at risk here, and make sure that, you know, women and families have the right to make their own decisions about what's best for them.
Yeah. Folks that want to start their own theocracy can do it, you know, someplace else, because right here, every election matters. And yes, we live in a time where the next election is always the most important election. The one that switched control of this state Supreme Court was the most important election of its time. Prior to that, the re-election of Governor Tony Evers was the most important election of its time, which takes us to our next subject, the new state budget deal. Governor Evers worked it out with Republicans who control the legislature. It will be a very bipartisan vote later today in the Assembly and the Senate, with Democrats voting yes and no, Republicans voting yes and no, and people having very strong feelings on depending on what end of the spectrum they're coming from. And I'm not saying all that to say that this is a good deal, Melissa. But again, if Tony Evers had not won election, you know, the way this would look under a Governor Tim Michaels administration is a hell of a lot different.
It absolutely is. And, you know, this isn't the budget that the governor wanted. The budget the governor wanted is the one he proposed. But this is, I think, this is a very good deal considering what the alternative was. And this, I think, shows the incredible commitment of the governor and his staff. I want to make sure to really shout out my former colleagues in the governor's office and throughout state government for their work on this, because yes, it is the leaders and the principals, you know, making a lot of these deals, but it's also an incredible, incredible amount of work by the staff to get there. And their commitment to this is just unparalleled. But I applaud the governor and our Democratic leader for getting there, because this is, I do believe, the best deal we could get out of this legislature. But at the same time, I respect and value and support the Democrats who are going to vote against this, because it's not what we deserve. And it's not the best budget for the state. It's the best budget we could get right now, but it's not the best budget for the state. So, you know, I think that they are correct to, you know, hold the line for themselves and to, for their constituents, and to draw the contrast of, you know, what is going to be in the state budget and what could be and should be in the state budget. And they'll really have a chance to demonstrate that when Democrats are in the majority in, you know, a couple years here with the budget. That's the goal. That's what we think is going to happen. Democrats taking back the Senate and an incredibly good chance to take back the Assembly. And the budget that will pass in 2 years because of that is going to look a whole lot different than this one. And it's going to be a whole lot better for the people of this state. So I think this was, you know, the right choice, even though it's a very difficult one. But Governor Evers has proven time and time again that he is willing to make the difficult choices that need to happen.
We're talking to Melissa Baldoff, and we've covered the legislative matters, the court matters. Now let's get to something that really matters: happy cows. And the
which I've got to just say, I still take a lot of issue with the the whole marketing campaign of Happy Cows Come From California.
Oh, yeah.
From years past. Bold. I mean, it's
that's
just
bold, pun intended, by the way. So, yeah, that's we know where the happy cows are. And,
that's right.
And they're up here. The story actually comes out of Morris, Minnesota, a University of Minnesota campus out there. But for all of the caterwauling about solar farms that says, well, the crops won't be able to grow now and cattle won't be able to graze now. I was always a little dubious of that because like anything else, you know, you pick your shot. You use what is best for the land if you can. But if you can use a little creativity, then so much the better. And the story out of Minnesota is all about how a solar array, a whole bunch of solar panels, are put on top of basically an electric powered vehicle, a tractor, a truck, whatever the case may be, that slowly moves along the field so that the cows can graze in the shade underneath the panels. I don't know if I have a particular climate question here. I'm just here to salute good old American ingenuity for getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, this is such a cool story. I loved when you sent me this. I mean, talk about innovation. And like you said, using what you have. So this is, I think, just incredible to see the fact that, you know, we know that we have seen so many farmers and producers and folks in the ag industry be incredibly committed to climate solutions. And it is just great to see that, you know, you can do both things, right? Two things can be true at the same time, as my husband Joseph Pecky likes to say quite often, and that is that we can do right by the planet and continue doing business in a way that is going to be productive and beneficial. So, you know, I think this is a great example of that. And I hope to see, you know, more. I hope to see some farms in Wisconsin employing this approach, because it seems really neat.
I've never been able to ask Melissa a personal question like this, but she has opened up the door for it. Tell me that Joseph Pecky has used that saying during discussions between the two of you to say, well, two things can be true at once. I didn't do the dishes and I was very busy today.
No. So he definitely uses it in personal conversation with mm-hmm. me and with the kids. But not to get out of his share of
the
household chores.
All right. The solar trailer, by the way, has a capacity of 60 kilowatt hours. The panels are equivalent to about 18 kilowatt hours. It obviously does not have a long extension cord, you know, that's tied to the grid. So you're powering these batteries that can then be used, you know, later on down the road. But again, it's just another way of saying that invention never stops. When I was on the, there was a special legislative committee on biofuels, and there were a lot of people going, oh, ethanol is terrible for the planet, blah, blah, blah. But the research that's being done on biodiesel all across Wisconsin, and so that you need less of a carbon footprint, you know, to grow the corn or the different crops that make biofuels. I was just amazed by it. People wanted this knee-jerk reaction to oppose ethanol. Look at the research and watch how it's evolving and unfolding. And that frankly, given where the Trump administration is, I think that's where we're going to get, you know, the positive stories is the ongoing role of innovation.
I agree. And that I'm going to use that to tie back to very briefly, and I'll make a point here, I promise, our conversation on the budget. And one of the reasons I think that the budget deal is the right one is because of the investment that is coming into our university system with this mm-hmm. budget, when Republicans initially wanted to do nothing. And now we're going to get a big investment for the UW system. And, you know, this story we see is in partnership, the project with one of the University of Minnesota campuses.
Yep.
And the campus is carbon neutral now, thanks to their advancements in energy production. So perfect. We want to make sure that we can keep innovating on our campuses as well. That's very important to our progress.
Melissa Baldoff with our climate check and much more. Thanks, Melissa. Have a great 4th.
Thanks, you too.
All right, a local update is next for some of you, and the rest of you will come back here for some final news and notes and a visit with James Kelly. Remember, you can follow me at upnorthnewswi.com and, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbro, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026, for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals, he wants the lords, he wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to our last and final segment of the Civic Media Spotlight. We're finishing out with a good one in Mino and the Mayor. Mino and the Mayor is joined by Jackson Manikowski for a signing of Ray Charles' America the Beautiful to commemorate the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, folks.
Hey, welcome back. Wrapping up here on a beautiful Wednesday morning right now in downtown Appleton, downtown Oshkosh. Are we downtown in Appleton? I was going to say Appleton.
No, we're not.
Okay.
We're Green Bay.
Well, we got two downtowns.
Green Bay. Yep.
Sunny Iceland, shower and storms this afternoon, high in the mid-80s today.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It is, Jim.
Yeah, it is, Jim. Thank you. We got a text. Oh, by the way, the Brewers at the Mets, 11:35 today, wrapping it up, and then 5:35 on WISS. And I got a text. We're talking about those boats with an amazing wake. Jim will never have one. They are too slow for him.
3 miles an hour, that's a little slow. That is a little slow, Dave.
Throw that one up.
So we do have a chance for some showers and storms. The chance is dropping, but it's still there for this afternoon.
Okay. It's been all over the place this year, though. Hasn't it, though?
What app are you using, and what's the city that you have there, Jim?
It's just chance of participation.
Orlando. Participation or precipitation?
Precipitation, and it goes maybe 5%.
Okay, mine says, and I'm checking three apps right now, 45%.
Okay.
How
do I know what app this is? I don't even know how to tell.
You're asking me? Did you actually ask me a question with the word app?
Yeah, I don't know.
You could pick any person off the street and ask them that question.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it looks like 40% chance of rain after 5 p.m.
I'm using the 10-day forecast app. Does that help?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway. I don't know either.
All right, we'll go with yours, Todd.
All right. So, Todd, tell us again about tomorrow if people heard that and would like to hear it again.
So two things. Number one, you can download your podcast every day. Nancy actually said, if you see there on your screen, Nancy actually said she's going to download this podcast and keep it on her phone or her computer awesome. So she can listen to it anytime. You can do that as well. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. You can get it on the Civic Media app, civicmedia.us. Click on shows, click on Mino and the Mayor. Tomorrow morning in our Daddy D Productions live music series, yep. We're going to basically replay what we just awesome. Heard okay. oh, cool. on the show.
That right. sounds great. That sounds great.
Right. Is Terry coming on?
Terry is not.
All right.
By.
So she was going to talk about what she has going on Sunday. I just want to. I interviewed for my show on Sunday the Bayshore Bicycle Club. They've been around since 1981. Everybody's heard about them. I wasn't sure what they did. Do you know that they do 3 rides a week? They have 120 members. You'll like this. On Wednesdays, they ride to a supper club.
Oh, really? I've never heard of that.
No.
That sounds really cool.
That's what I said. I'm in. Asked about favorites. He goes, well, yeah, I'm going to mention favorites.
Try them all.
Yeah, try them all.
That's cool. I think that's awesome.
And then Sundays they do a ride and one other day of the week. And, you know, they probably 12 miles an hour, maybe 14. It's not like they're speedsters, but because Sundays it's a little
great way to see. You know, we were talking about one of the best ways to see a community is from on the water. The other way is
on a bike. Yeah.
Not even a question.
No one ever gets left behind, right? I mean, if you're a little slower, he goes, we would never leave anybody behind. But just a cool organization. And I said, so what's like the mission? Like, what's the most important thing? You think, well, it's health and, you know, really appreciating biking. He goes, really, it's the social aspect. We talked about exactly what we talked about today again, is that how important, even with the realtor, how important socialization is. And how, if you don't socialize, it can, you know, be not good. So I said, well, so what about the winter? Oh, he goes, you know, we do snowshoeing and other things. So I said, well, have you
get them out of the house?
I said, have you considered a name change? You know,
yeah, like, yeah.
He said, no, we talked about it, but no, we're going to stay.
But I'm a firm believer in that, especially for people getting up there a little bit, if they're retired or anything like that, give them a good reason to get out of the house.
So he said, that's what they do. I thought it was just
I think that's awesome. Really cool. I really do.
And, we had a nice visit. So,
you should join them. You got a bike.
And he said that I asked him about average age and it would be like probably 10 years younger than us, but it's not, still, it's not a bunch of like 18, 19 year olds.
Right.
It's more adults it's $25 a year, $30 bucks a year. So anyway,
I think that's great.
That was really interesting for me. And then I talked to him a little bit more. Actually, the reason I know those guys is they'd come to meetings. Cause when we built the new street, they always want a bike lane.
Oh, and you were mayor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I might not be here though. Cause I might be accepting a new job.
What's that?
I just got it. Good morning. I'm Elena, customer service representative from Best Buy. Your resume has been recommended by multiple online recruitment platforms.
Oh, my gosh, John. Really? You think that could come through?
Yeah.
Being a guy in a blue shirt?
Yeah.
Welcome to Best Buy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
No experience required, free training.
Right.
Monthly salary, $6,000 to $10,000.
Oh, that's annual.
So somebody comes into the store, John. Let's role play just briefly. I come in.
Certainly.
I'll say an older gentleman. Okay.
Hi, hey, I'm John. May I help you?
Well, John, my name is Edward.
Edward, good to see you.
I got a phone here about 6 years ago.
You're wearing that hat, that cap. Where you're in the Army? What branch?
That's exactly.
Army? So when were you in?
I was back in 48.
No, you were in 48. Come on.
At any rate, John, I'm having problems with.
But what were you, Army?
Yeah, absolutely.
Army?
Yeah.
What division? Fourth division?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay.
Solid.
What do you got there?
I got a phone.
I got one too.
Yeah.
This thing, though, I got to be honest with you. I can't figure out. I'll tell you. Let me just show you something, Edward. Do you know how to get? Look at this. I don't. Oh, wait. No. Hang on a second.
Are you having some problems? I might be able to help you.
I dropped it, and I don't know if I need a new one. So, I'm sorry. What'd you say here?
I can't make a phone call. For some reason, it's just giving me the wrong forecast. It's saying that it's going to be nice today, but I think it's going to rain.
Yeah, yeah. Don't believe that. Don't believe that stuff.
This is exactly how it would
right?
go.
Right?
Yeah. No, it would.
You,
it would.
Edward, you think you got problems with your phone? The guy I work with, you can't believe this.
Or somebody would walk in and they would say to you, hey, could you help me with this app? And it's like, the applications are over there if you want a job. Right, you know?
I'm looking for some Bluetooth headphones. Right. What can I
get? Yeah. No, we don't sell toothbrushes here. So, yeah.
Sure. I'm not happy with the service I've received here. Well, you know what? Yeah. We're not happy with you. Yeah. How's that? No.
Nah, John, pass on that. Stay with radio. Stick with radio. You belong here.
Another edition of Mino and the Mirror Theater
right.
this morning.
You belong right
Todd,
here.
Todd, you did a phenomenal job putting
today.
Everything together so today, man.
Thanks,
phenomenal Kramer. Job. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. We're going to be playing those back again tomorrow. That was just awe-inspiring.
You got to be in the spirit now.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. The death toll after last week's devastating floods in central Texas has just risen to 129, including children. Local resident Marcy Heap.
As a mother who's lost a child, I know the nightmare that these people are living, that these parents are going through. I wouldn't wish that on the devil himself. That is the most unfair thing a parent will ever go through in their life.
More than 160 are missing. CBS's Karen Hua on the steps being taken to prevent similar tragedies.
State leaders tell us they're committed to looking into warning sirens. And Governor Abbott says the state will be prepared when the next disaster hits.
President Trump announces a new round of tariffs starting August 1st. CBS's Willie James Inman.
On Saturday, President Trump announced a 30% tariff on imports from Mexico and the European Union. Mr. Trump accused Mexico of not doing enough to stop cartels.